Let us read then from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burneth with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, the text verses can be found in 22 through 25 of the fourth read portion of the scriptures, where we read, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just man made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." And especially this portion of it in the content of what was just read by me. "And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things of that of Abel." Three thoughts. Why is he spoken of the blood of Abel? Well, Abel was murdered, and that blood crieth and has cried from earth to God for wrath. So why was he murdered? Is one. Secondly, and his blood crieth for wrath. But the blood of Christ speaketh of more powerful, it said in the Greek, kriton. It's translated here in better, but more powerful kriton things than that of Abel. That's the last thought. The blood of Christ doesn't speak from wrath, but from forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ speaks not of wrath, although if we reject him, there is no sacrifice anymore, but of repentance and faith, of mercy, redemption alone. I this week had a discussion, very friendly and lovely, with an old Reformed pastor, sometimes preaching in Grand Rapids too. And we dealt with all kinds of issues concerning true religion, regeneration, life before justification, it seems to be important today, and all kinds of things concerning the kingdom of heaven. But what I found out, and it's nothing to do with him, I love him for Christ's sake, that the most important things sometimes are set aside. Men speak after about seeking of the Lord. I mean, we seek in the Lord. But the main issue in the whole scriptures, dear congregation, is one thing needful: the forgiveness of sins and the restoration into communion with God. By sin in paradise in Adam, we are separated and under judgment. By the forgiveness of sins and clothed of righteousness in Christ, we are reunited with God in Christ, heaven, peace everlastingly, and a kingdom that doesn't move. Oh, my dear congregation, it starts already in the beginning. When Adam and Eve had sinned, and we know the story, and fell as the head of the nature, as the head of the covenant, some say of works, as our head, for we are all Adam, we are all Adams. When they had sinned, congregation, and sinned the communion away and the joy away in God, God sacrificed a lamb and clothed them with the skins of the lamb. That's the righteousness of Christ covered with blood. Oh, you see it. And then they knew what was sinning, fear and trembling. But they knew also who was gracious towards them. They were covered with bloody skins. Like in the last chapters of the Bible, it said they are the justifications of the people of God. They have washed their white and linen clothed in the blood of Christ, covered with the blood of redemption, having peace with God. Oh, congregation. And we always start to go aside from this most important thing. Now the question for you and me is, God asks you this morning, are your sins forgiven? And don't tell me that you don't know it. You know it if it's yes or no. Might be afflicted. But has there come a time that your sins were unbearable and brought you to death? Has there come a time that Christ visited you, revealed by the Father to take away the burden and the condemnation, put you back to peace with God in Christ? And don't tell me that it's hidden and that you can't be aware of it. Some have told it. But John the Baptist said, see the Lamb of God. He pointed to the Lamb of God, taken away the sins of the world, the sins of the people of God, in the world, Jew and heathen congregation. And there it started, and not only with Adam and Eve. Eve bare two sons. And the first, he said, is Cain, the man. She believed he was the Messiah, the promised seed of the woman, erring. But she says, I received the man of God. The man of God. And then she had a second. It's called Abel. In Hebrew, it's Avel, Havel. And it means nothing. A nothing. She got a man and a nothing. And God chooses the nothing and not the man. Do you understand me? Bible says it. Yeah? Election is for the nothing. Well, they both sacrificed after some days. Some have said they sacrificed on the seventh day, at the end of the days. And there started, some have said, church. in the Old Testament, ceremonial. Yeah, but Pastor, it's only given in Leviticus. No. It's re-given in Leviticus. God sacrificed the lamb. He taught Adam and Eve the way of redemption and reconciliation in the sacrifice of his son to come, crushing the head of the serpent, bringing his people to peace. But it's rebrought or retaught, even the moral law. Don't tell me that the moral law wasn't given. Even when they were eating the manna, they were not allowed to eat it on the seventh day or to gather it on the seventh day better. But it was given again, written in stony tablets, congregation. Okay. So God taught sacrifice. And he taught a bloody sacrifice of an undefiled lamb, fat. Now what happened? After some days, on the Sabbath day, Esau brought of the first fruits of the harvest. He was a farmer. And Abel slaughtered a lamb, the firstborn, putting your eye to Jesus. Full of fat. Fat is love in the scriptures. Eternal love. And when he sacrificed, and I come to it later, he received from the Lord, Hebrews 11, by faith he sacrificed and offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness here, a testimony of the Spirit, that he was righteous, could meet without fear a righteous God, having no sin anymore, counted to be righteous in the eyes of God by the application of the blood and cover of Christ. For he didn't look to the Lamb, but to the Son to come to crush the head of the serpent. He got witness. If you would have asked Abel, are you righteous? He would have said, no and yes. No in me. I'm a nothing. A son of Adam, and I've sinned. And my evil nature requires wrath. But I'm righteous in the Lord Jesus. That's what he confessed. By faith. Hebrews 11. What had Abel done to it? And nothing can do anything. So nothing. What had God done to it? Everything. The firstborn, Christ Jesus. Well, congregation, by faith, he offered. Outside of himself, as a sinner condemned, convicted and condemned, Christ alone, seen in the sacrifice of that firstborn lamb that covered his father and mother and has also covered him. Therefore, my dear friends, If I have to say something in the last time, I will preach to you, at least in the morning service. Keep that tradition that you need a sacrifice of Christ applied to have a witness in your soul that you're righteous. And if not, you're not. That may be the main center of preaching. Christ and Him sacrificed for nothing's deserving wrath of God and eternal condemnation. Oh, what a wonder. If you err from it, you will err from the truth. Go in every religious detail. Speak about man and his experience. And I'm saying God has given the experience by His Spirit in the souls of His people, sure. But man shouldn't be central. Only the Lamb of God that pleases God. And His sacrifice alone. And do you know what happened? You read it in Genesis 4. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now first this. God had not respect to Abel. Yeah, pastor, he had according to election, sure. But it's the election of grace and not of works. You read in Romans 10. So he had respect to Abel and his sacrifice. Or in his sacrifice. Now, the Bible says he looked upon him. He did not longer look away from him. He laughed and had peace with Abel. He did no longer turn his face from him. But he shined upon him in the sacrifice. Hey, you know the Psalter, shine upon us once more. You can also say he had respect, or there was renewed communion. He received witness, says Hebrews, that he was righteous. God respected the lamb slaughtered for him. But Cain, he brought a sacrifice to. He didn't go to that nothing asking for a lamb. He had heard it from his parents. But he didn't need it, he thought. The man. And he brought a thanksgiving sacrifice. Now, it's a good sacrifice. If you're not redeemed, you don't know what's a thanksgiving sacrifice. It's a peace sacrifice in Leviticus. But there is an order. First the bloody sacrifice and then the thanksgiving sacrifice. I will lift up the cup of salvation in the midst of the people of God. That's an order. Therefore, the Lord Jesus didn't teach without a reason the two going up to pray in the temple, the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee had a sacrifice. Sure, he said, I thank thee that thou hast given me the privilege that I am not a harlot and an evil man or girl. Not like that man there standing behind me in church, that publican. I spit on the floor for him. I thank thee, Lord. How gracious hast thou been towards me. It's a religious man, not knowing himself. We call him self-righteous. Cain was surely a religious man, taught by his parents in the fall, and restoration, redemption. But he had never been a sinner. Otherwise, he would have gone to do nothing and say, can I have a lamb for my sin? But you know what the publican did? He didn't dare to look to heaven, for heaven looked at him in wrath and dismay. But he beat it on his breast. And beating on your breast means feeling sorrow, pain, that he had sinned. And then he prayed, and there you have Abel, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now I go again. If you don't read Greek, you don't know what he prays. But he prayed, be the cover for me, the sinner. And he says, be the cover like the cover on the ark that covers the law. It was gold, impurity and holiness, and bloody of the blood of the Lamb. He prayed, he says, Lord, I've sinned, deserve eternal wrath. He has been at the synagogue, condemned, but had a sorrow for God. And he begged for mercy. And oh wonder, he got it by faith. Abel. God looked to the publican and his sacrifice. And he went home justified. Now what does it mean? Counted to be just. Godding a witness that he was righteous. Now I ask you, are there witnesses here who know it by faith? If not, yeah, Pastor, I hope it. Yeah, I hope. I'm not saying you shouldn't hope it. Yeah, there is a promise, all right. When I ask you, has there come a day when you sighed your last sigh, prayed your last prayer, accepted judgment, and got Christ out of the hands of God? No? Oh, Pastor, I know. And I, by grace, I've 40 years been by God in preaching. I know all your answers and questions. I've dealt with it. But the most problematic thing should be, if your sins are not forgiven, dear boy, where shall you be at the judgment seat of Christ? Where shall I be? And the more, and now I'm getting older, and my evil nature bothers me a lot. But grace covers. Evil is covered by grace. Received from God by faith. Congregation. But I tell you this, when you just rely by grace, not on works, but on Christ, you'll have a lot of enemies. In religious circles, they always say to you, yes, but. You can't. Yes, right, great, but. You have responsibilities. But Paul says in Romans 10, it's an election of grace. And when it's grace, it's no work. Yeah, fruits. But not your fruits. Fruits of the Spirit. By grace received. To walk in it, which are prepared before the foundation of the world. Already prepared. Why do you cut this all? That you might live by Christ alone. The only sacrifice for time and eternity. Oh, I can build you and you'll grow. You're a sincere preacher, or a good prayer. Oh, you have convictions. And you're a surety in your neighborhood. And an example. And there. Through conversion. But Abel was a nothing, and he stayed to be a nothing. And if you're a nothing saved by grace, the world hates you and the religious people the more. Especially when you don't count their works to be worth any. The Lord Jesus didn't count them. He says, and Paul didn't. That teaching was that. Always. Almost in every letter he had to defend the justification by faith and his apostleship. But anyways, he said, you know what he said? In me is no good. But all my good is in Christ. Is it? Then, dear, there is hope. If you have to bring a dime, you lose it, dear. And it's a dirty dime. It's a dirty dime. It's a paid price. But the world will hate you. But they will feel that you have peace and they can stand it, you have in peace. They say, yes, but. And they start arguing with you. You think that the righteousness of Christ is enough? Don't you need to do good works? No, I don't. Yeah, but. You have to prove your conversion. I said, no. God proves it. By His Spirit. Yeah, but you're not a stock in the block. Oh, no. Yeah. No, I'm not. I want to be holy in love. But I can't. He is my holiness, he has said. And if I might be used by the Spirit a bit in the world, what would that be great? So that's not what you're doing. No, no. I'm an able and nothing. And the more he testified about the Lord Jesus, the more Cain hated him. He started arguing with him. You always want to argue. His face fell. His panim yepol fell. When you got grace, some of your neighbors will have a fallen faith. First they were laughing at you. And now they... He thinks he is it. And they know you got it. They know it. And hate Christ and God in you. He says, let's make a little walk. Go with Abel. And he took a stone. Says the Jewish tradition, and put it here and killed him. An actual sinner. A man who thought he had no sin became a sinner. What did he do? And there you have religious people. First they say, there's some good in me, and I can perform. But when they have sinned, they say, is no good. My sin is too great to be forgiven. First, they are not a sinner to be condemned. And when they did the condemnational sin, they say, can be forgiven. And he fled. God to curse, fear, condemnation. He became a sinner, a murderer. For the first time, probably, he saw that he was a sinner and not a righteous man. But what now? He didn't ask Abel. He couldn't anymore. But he didn't go to the flock of his brother. God cared for it. And took a lamb to slaughter. Is that a sinner in our midst who has sinned a lot? Do never say my sins are too much to be forgiven. No. For there is another blood. The blood of Abel cried from the earth on wrath, for vengeance. But there is another blood that calls for mercy. Abel was a sinner to die for his own sins, not for the sins of Cain. And the law says tooth for tooth, or teeth for teeth, eye for eye. But the gospel says Christ for a sinner, the lamb for Abel. Are there sinners in our midst who have sinned And the devil plagued him this night and said, "You have sinned too much. How can you be forgiven? Is there a child of God even today in the church and have said, 'Oh, I said I won't sin anymore, but that old nature besets me. I don't know how to be delivered from it.'" See the Lamb of God. He was not a sinner. And he gave his life. He wasn't slaughtered. He says, "I might give my life and to take it away." He sacrificed himself by the hands of unjust man. He wasn't put to death, he died. And gave his soul as a ransom for many. And that blood by the sword in his heart sprinkled on the earth. And it cries, "There is forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb for a nothing." That blood of Abel speaks today out of the mount of Sinai for wrath, for vengeance. But the blood of Jesus speaks of him who satisfied the wrath of God, took away vengeance, bringing peace. So the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus is more than the death of a martyr. It's wonderful if you, for grace's sake, are persecuted. Thy wages in heaven are high. But it doesn't make you righteous. You might even give your life, says Paul, without love. But it doesn't make you righteous. That's the false doctrine of Rome and the Muslims, even the Jews. Do you know what the Jews believe? Let's start with the Jews. The self-righteous Jews believe that by death, their own death, they are delivered from sin. It's a sacrifice. Now, Pastor, I've never heard about it. Then seek better before you answer me. They believe that by their own death, they satisfy the wrath of God. Not only do those Muslims do the same. You have to be very diligent and obedient to the laws of Muslim faith. Pray so many times, give alms, prayers. And if you once leave, it's over. But there is a firm way to heaven, a steady and mighty way for Muslims. What? To be a martyr. You straightway go to heaven, for your martyrdom satisfies the wrath of God. It doesn't. Misled people. And who speaks to Goliath today? Oh, tremble and fear. We shouldn't talk too much. Be nice to them. And let them conquer the United States. With all their idolatry and lies. Pastor, they get you. Doesn't matter. But not only Jews and self-righteous people, even today here among us. If I take your good works away, you're mad. and say that even your best works are spotted with dirt and worthy of condemnation? Have you learned it? And some people don't want to come to church if you preach the law of condemnation. Conviction and condemnation is preparation for the gospel. Catechism does. But they say today you don't need it. Only preach Christ. No. But we are come. But after we met Sinai, but we are come to Zion. And what Zion? That's the place where Christ is crucified. To satisfy the wrath. To fulfill the ceremonial law. But, listen, it's not said "and." But in the Greek word is Allah. But by grace. I'm like Abel, saying, "Lord, I deserve the wrath by thy law and condemnation, but have mercy upon me, the sinner." But. First and now but. But. We have come to Mount Zion. Into the city of the living God, not fearing but enjoying his communion, saints in heaven and saints on earth. By grace, by the sacrifice of the Lamb applied to my soul by faith. By a gift of the Father, as faith is and Christ is. The heavenly Jerusalem. Although I work on earth and I walk on earth, my hometown is somewhere else. It's in Jerusalem. Sometimes I walk with my soul under my arms, doing some shopping in the world. But that old pastor of the old Reformed Church, I said, "Man, the best days are as we are strangers on earth. Then heaven is pulling and drawing." I want to be, says Paul, with Jesus. You see all those dying souls around you, and sometimes you can't even open your mouth into them. But sometimes it's given. The heavenly Jerusalem. City of the living God. Innumerable company of angels praising God. And the assembly of the firstborns. They got the name of the firstborn. They got grace by the slain of the firstborn. The slaughter of the firstborn. And they got restoration of regeneration, of justification by his resurrection as the firstborn from death. Firstborn to slaughter it, and the firstborn to be raised. And their names are firstborns after their master and Savior. He did it for me, and I did it in him. Not me. When he was slaughtered, I was slaughtered. And when he was raised, I am raised into new life eternally, which are written in heaven. There's a book. And you can't look in it, for it's in heaven. You don't need to look in it. Look unto him, the author and finisher of faith. But there is a book of the firstborn written in heaven. It's God's counsel and election. And God a judge, and I'm not fearing him. Israel walked away from the judge fearing. God's people came to the judge for mercy, and he gave it to them. And not fearing the judge anymore. Always, Pastor. Yeah, in deep sense, always. But by unbelief, they attacked. Trembling. But they are meeting the judge without fear. That's according to that form of child baptism, you know. The last day, we might meet him without fear. My sins are covered and washed away. I'm righteous in him. Oh, what a glorious gospel. But it needs to be applied. You might like it, but do you have it? You might enjoy it. Like many, says Jesus, have enjoyed my teachings, but I don't know them. Don't know them. They have heard the promises and heard, enjoyed, but it didn't last long. Didn't last long. Never been at Sinai. Oh, no. Never condemned. Never got grace in Jesus. And the spirits of just man made perfect. Being perfect, no. Just in Christ and made perfect. When I'm delivered from the body of sin, I will not sin anymore. The word for made perfect is teleios. And teleios is the word that Christ cried out at the cross when he bowed his head. He said, it's finished. You know what it means? He cried out to his Father, my people is perfect in me. And he cried to the people, there is righteousness in me. The blood is sprinkled. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, that's not a new covenant, but fulfilled covenant, made new. And to the blood of sprinkling, not only the blood, you can speak of the blood, but you need the blood sprinkled on the earth, your soul. That speaketh of better things than of Abel. Forgiveness of sins for a people under wrath, under vengeance. A murderer at the cross. I deserve wrath. And he warned his friend. But he said, my sins are too great to be forgiven. And he stayed mocking. But he repented. We deserve hellish punishment. Do you know what I believe? So know what I'm saying. Otherwise I couldn't even preach it here. Cut off. Grafted in Christ by faith. Remember me and thou raised again and be in thy kingdom. Remember me in mercy. When thou hast paid the price, oh, forgive me my sins. And then the Lord opened heaven, restored communion, and he said, today you will be in heaven. No. No. Yes, no. With me. I am there for you, and you with me in heaven. Lord looked to Abel and his sacrifice. If the Lord would look to Abel, he would have just finished taking him away. But he looked to Abel and his sacrifice. That's the Lord Jesus. Is he a sinner with the sacrifice? Pastor, I miss it. You are too sure. And you should preach to doubted and doubting people more. Why? Can you live with doubts? You cherish doubts. You think you're a man if you're doubting. God's people doesn't know how to deal with doubts. Cries about doubts. No. Yeah, but it's for the poor people. I've said it's for Abel and nothing. But he got it. That's a different story. Yeah, but... I met at ministers, and many ministers deceive people and preach half-saved lives. And they are ruined and lost. And Christ says, I don't know yet. No. Imagined to be saved. Not having had ever that witness of grace. But Pastor, how then? See that you don't refuse him and say, my sins are too much to forgive. That blood that sprinkled on earth preaches today not to refuse him. Cain refused him. I know that by nature doeth everyone. Yeah, sure. But see that you don't refuse the speaking of the blood of the Lamb that has come to you. That is righteous for a sheaf of condemned sinners by faith. It's a gift. And he has spoken on earth. Come unto me, all that are laden and burdened with things tired. And I'll give you rest. He's inviting. See that you not refuse. And say, oh, in that sacrifice and that righteousness is no consolation. There is. And he has spoken on earth, and now he speaks from heaven, sends his ministers around, even today, that you won't refuse him. By nature you will. And I tell you this, if you're converted, there has been a time that you refused him. By unbelief. And probably you know what Esau said. My sins are too great. No, friend, no. It seems to be that you seem very reformed saying it. But do you know what you do? You lower the price of Jesus. Make him of no use for your chief of sinners. Oh, that you wouldn't refuse him. Is there a sinner today? Says, Lord, I can't walk any more further. Have mercy upon me, sinner. Thy blood cleanses from all sin. Oh, what would it be a day when I believe in thee? And if you refuse, you can't escape the wrath to come. Why, young people, why do you love the world? Be half religious. Have some impressions upon your soul. Has there come a time that you saw the Lord Jesus preached and heard him? Oh, that God would grant you not to refuse, but to ask for mercy. For how shall you escape if you turn away from him? And by nature you do. Therefore there are two things to be needful in the New Testament, but also in the Old. That's repentance. Not flee from him with your sins, but to him. And if he wouldn't hear, and if he doesn't listen, don't flee from him. Yeah, but Pastor, that's a work of God. I know you want to excuse you. But listen to the scriptures this morning. By nature you refuse, I know. You don't need to discuss that with me. But the Bible says, how shall you escape if you refuse? And now there is a sinner in our midst. He says, oh Lord, let me not refuse. My old nature is angry sometimes at thee. Convict, break my heart, and give me a contrite spirit to embrace my judgment and being set free in the judgment of thy Son. A nothing. And an all for a nothing. We go. Will this day be a day of refusal, like so many in your life? Is there someone who starts to cry now? Says, Lord, forgive me my enmity. My strife and self-righteousness. Make me a nothing for thy all. Jesus Christ and him crucified has given me for wisdom, justification, sanctification, and total redemption of the Father. of the Father given. See that you won't refuse him. Yeah, but you said it's grace. That's grace not to refuse him. Right. May God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. It's wondrous, Lord, that there is a resound in this congregation that we felt that we didn't need to preach against stones and blocks, but there was also resistance. And it doesn't matter. See that you don't refuse. Oh, let him not refuse. Break their hearts. Bind them to thyself. They couldn't have better heard any gospel preaching than hearing it and fearing it. Refusing, walking away, paying self the dimes like Judas, or the sins are too great to be forgiven. That's refusal. It seems to be very formed, but it's idolatric. It's enmity. Have mercy upon us. I ask it for myself and the whole congregation and those that listen together with us. Be the after preacher. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. That you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.